If you're rich or poor, well, it don't matter. Weak or strong, you know love is what we're after. We're all broken, but we're all in this together. God knows we stumble.
Welcome to the world. My name's Lizzie.
And I'm Ben.
We're so glad you're here.
Yes, we are. Thank you so much for tuning in and for giving us the time this morning. We are praying for you already, and we are grateful that you have carved this time out to be with us. We have one quick housekeeping announcement, and that is that next Sunday, we are going to resume in-person worship services. So on Sunday, July the 5th at 11 a.m. in the Christian Life Center of our main campus, we are going to resume in-person worship services. We are excited about that, but we also want to let you know that if you're not quite comfortable or not quite ready to get out, we will continue to stream online. Now, that will be at 11 because we'll actually stream it live. And so we encourage you to tune in or to join us and to go ahead and register on our website and let us know that you're coming so that we can make a place for you. Again, we're so glad that you're here this morning, and we will pray for you now as we begin our service.
Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. Help us to love you and other people.
Help us to have a great service.
Amen.
Amen.
You understand me, come to me in the valley of unknowns, you understand me, you understand me, you understand me, God, you understand me, so I throw Father.
gracious innocent. Children of the
My name's Joe, and now we're at the point in our service where we get to do our offering. You can mail in a gift, or you can go to our website and click on the giving link and give there. Now, let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for all these offerings and pray that you bless them. Thank you for all that you have given us and help us to be extremely generous. Amen.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been, and come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come near. Earth has no sorrow, heaven can heal. Earth has no sorrow, and heaven can heal.
Who are the bruised?
Thanks for joining us today as we are finishing up our series called Forged in the Fire, where we've been taking a look at different images of fire in the scriptures and seeing how that relates to our life. And today we are talking about swords into plowshares.
Yes.
All right. And so when I read this line about swords into plowshares, it reminds me of a place that I love, a place I love to go. And that place is called Dollywood. I know you guys love Dollywood too. And even Ben loves Dollywood.
Closest I've ever been to Hollywood is Dollywood.
And he has a very favorite part of Dollywood.
Okay. I do have a favorite part.
That relates to this sermon.
I do have a favorite part of Dollywood.
Okay.
I wouldn't necessarily say Dollywood's my favorite, but I like it because you like it. So when we go to Dollywood, toward the center of Dollywood is this place. What did you call it?
Craftsman's Valley.
See, mountains. They're so clever. Craftsman's Valley, and inside the Craftsman's Valley is this metalworking shop, a blacksmith shop. And so there's some guys in there, and I think some women too, who are have this coal fire burning and lots of just kind of raw metal, and they heat it up, and they get it super red hot. They kind of beat on it for a while, twist it a little bit, and on the other side of it is this incredibly cool looking either, I don't know, wind chime or, you know, fireplace shovel or whatever else it is that they might come up with on the other end of it. But it's so cool for me to watch them take that raw product, manipulate it through heat, through the fire, and then out comes something incredibly useful. And so it kind of has a lot to do, going back to what we said last week in our series or in our sermon, which we were talking
About the refiner's fire
mm-hmm. and how, you know, refining is taking a raw product. And so essentially beating swords into plowshares is even more than taking a raw product, but taking perhaps a product or something that was meant for or created for destruction and making it into something incredibly useful and life-giving. And so that's what we're going to look at today as we look at a passage from the Old Testament.
Yeah, and I'm going to go ahead and read this passage. It's actually found in two places, in the book of Micah and in Isaiah. Isaiah and Micah were both prophets. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But we're going to read this from Isaiah, and this is chapter 2, verses 2 through 5. And Isaiah says, "In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be the highest of all, the most important place on earth. It will be raised above the other hills, and people from all over the world will stream there to worship. People from many nations will come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob's God. There he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths.' For the Lord's teaching will go out from Zion. His word will go out from Jerusalem. The Lord will mediate between nations and will settle international disputes. They will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will no longer fight against nation nor train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord." So there's that verse in there about they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And I think you were right when you introduced the passage to say this is about taking things that were meant for destruction, meant for to take people's lives and turning them into things that sustain life. So you brought a couple examples.
I did not bring any swords.
No.
Because I don't,
we don't have
any
swords,
unfortunately. But what I do have is some plowshares. I'm going to step off.
Yeah. These are from Ben's dad, from the tractor graveyard.
Let's see if I can pick them up here, from the tractor graveyard. This, I'm sure there's a really technical name for it, as well as this one here. I know this one here, in fact, I'm holding them upside down. Let's see if I can do this. It goes kind of in the middle of the tractor. My dad uses Case International tractors. He's a big fan of the offset tractor, the Cub, the Super A. He's got a 265, Google it. These right underneath, he likes that because he can sit on the tractor and see what's going on with the planting. But this one here like covers up the seed after you've planted it, sort of. This one here goes kind of behind the back tire. I don't remember that part. Just kind of cleans up the row. I'm gonna set these down before I drop them. But my dad has used those plows and many others to grow vegetables in a garden back behind our house, and we've eaten the fruit of that. And so it's really neat that, you know, something that is as, you know, rusty and raw product as a plowshare can produce life and can produce fruit and that brings life.
Yep. And that's what today is all about, bringing life.
So as we get started looking and kind of breaking down this passage, I think it's important for us to note that both Micah and Isaiah were prophets.
Right.
And so just as a reminder, or maybe brand new for you, a prophet is simply someone who brings the word of God, brings the truth of God. And so, but particularly in this day and age, the prophet, you know, Isaiah and even Micah as well, they held a lot of, I mean, they were considered to be very wise because they're speaking the word of God, and God is giving that, they're kind of like this channel, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so they held a lot of power and authority with the king,
right,
because for the king, their understanding of God came directly from and through the prophet. And so when Isaiah speaks these words, they come with great authority, and they come directly from the mouth of God to the people.
That's right. And the prophet's message throughout the Old Testament, they kind of have a similar cycle.
Sure.
Where the prophet is sent by God to tell the king, it's kind of confrontational.
Sure.
Most of the time, to tell the king or the leaders.
I was just going to jump in and say, like, think David and Nathan. We
right.
talked about that
a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, somewhere along the way, Nathan was the prophet who looked at David and said, hey, you're living in sin.
Yeah.
You know, like, you made a big mistake.
Yeah.
And so David listened to that because he had an existing relationship with Nathan, but Nathan spoke as a prophet.
Right.
And so it was the word of God coming to him.
Yeah, and so that's the same kind of pattern what happened there. The prophets would basically come and tell God's people, you have messed up.
Yeah.
You are not following the covenant. You have corruption. You are worshiping idols, like any number of the things that they were doing wrong. The prophet would come and deliver that news. You have messed up. And then usually they would say, God's going to allow something to happen to you as a form of judgment.
Sure.
So in these couple of books, Isaiah and Micah, it's that they're going to be overtaken by other nations, by Assyria and later Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
But then always in the prophets, there's a glimmer of hope.
Sure.
They always end with some sort of hope. And just kind of giving away Isaiah and Micah, their glimmer of hope is there's going to be a child born in Bethlehem.
Jesus.
Yeah,
yeah.
Jesus. But they say there's going to be a ruler is going to come from Bethlehem, mm-hmm, who's going to fix all of this.
Yes.
But before we get to that, there's another little bit of hope. And I just want to give one example of kind of this cycle of what the prophets might say. So we just read from chapter 2. This is backing up to chapter 1, mm-hmm, of Isaiah, where he says, listen, O heavens, pay attention, earth. This is what the Lord says. The children I raised and care for have rebelled against me. Even an ox knows its owner, and a donkey recognizes its master's care. But Israel doesn't know its master. My people don't recognize my care for them. Oh, what a sinful nation they are, loaded down with a burden of guilt. They are evil people, corrupt children who have rejected the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel and then turned their backs on him. And then skipping a couple of verses, this is where the glimmer of hope comes in too. It says, wash yourselves and be clean. Get your sins out of my sight. Give up your evil ways. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the cause of the orphans. Fight for the rights of widows. Come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. And then here's the best part.
Yeah.
Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. So in the end, even though Isaiah is delivering this judgment and he's, mm-hmm, he's giving them some to-dos, how you can get back in right relationship, he says, God's going to wash away your sin.
Yeah.
He's going to make everything good again.
Yes, yes. There's this. I hear, you know, call and response kind of thing. Like, this is the reality of where you are. This is the reality of where your sin is going to lead you. But, and I love that he gives that directive, like, get your sin out of here. This is what it can look like.
Yeah.
And so there's a hope. So this hope, though, is not something that is so far off that we may never see it, or, you know, it's not just something that, well, one day, you know, when we all get to heaven,
right,
everything's going to be fine. The swords will become plowshares one day when Jesus finally returns. But there's actually a call from Isaiah to us as far as a way to realign ourselves so that we might actually live into that hope even now.
That's right. And so kind of what he, going back to this main passage that we're looking at, the Isaiah 2 passage, he kind of gives us a situation in which if this is what happens, mm-hmm, then we'll be turning our swords into plowshares,
yes,
and our spears into pruning hooks. If this is what we get right first.
Yes.
And so we kind of want to back up and say, it's this part about if the Lord's house will be the highest of all, the most important place on earth. Now, I don't know that I mean, maybe that is literally like on a mountain.
Sure.
But I think figuratively, that God's at the center.
Yeah.
If God is the most important, if God is the center of everything on the earth, and everybody from every nation will stream there to worship.
Yes.
Not like, just online stream.
Hey.
I stole your joke.
I got you. It's okay. Yeah. I like that one. Streaming.
Everybody's going there to worship God because sure. He's the center for everybody, for all nations. Mm-hmm. People are going to go there and they're going to say, let's go up to this house of the Lord. And then this is the really important part. There he will teach us his ways and we will walk in his paths.
Sure.
So this is all about if God is the center for every nation and every person is going to God to worship and saying, God, teach me your ways. Let me walk in your paths. That's the right conditions for the swords into plowshares.
Yeah, I don't know that this necessarily alludes to the church, and certainly I don't think it alludes to a physical church, like we should go build a building high on a mountain and tell everybody come to us. But rather, I think there's a reality there that when we are drawn together as the people of God and we seek out the ways of God, and when we want to and seek to walk in his path, that is a reality that when it happens, that's when this peace, this transformation of brokenness into life begins to take place and becomes a reality.
Yes. And so when you talked about Refiner's Fire last week, we mm-hmm. kind of ended on this note of, hey, we all need to be reading the scripture. We all need to be applying that to our lives.
Sure.
We could end here with that right now, the same plea. Like, if you want to know the ways of God, like, you need to read the ways of God in the scripture. Like,
certainly.
And that's how you'll
it's
know how to
always
walk
the right answer.
Yeah. It is. But I feel like this is a little bit more of a corporate call.
Sure.
Whereas that was kind of, hey, as an individual, you need to be reading scripture. You need to apply it
Start
to your life,
here.
Walk in the path. Mm-hmm. I feel like this passage is speaking more to like, this is what the nations are going to do.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit more daunting to think about. How do we change our nation, let alone the nations?
And I think part of the reason why we think of especially this passage of swords becoming plowshares as something that will never happen here, but will only happen one day when we get to heaven, I think it's so daunting that we just naturally gravitate toward, well, only one day will this ever happen.
Right.
But for now, it's just going to be. But I don't think it has to be.
Right. You don't have to look very far to see division.
Certainly.
When this is over, scroll your Facebook feed and you'll see plenty of division.
Yes.
Right? Recently, you had the opportunity to be on a panel.
Yeah.
With some other pastors in on the Gulf Coast,
yes.
kind of talking about racism issues, which are in our forefront right now in our nation.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't met Cameron yet, but one of the other pastors on your panel, who kind of organizing you, was Cameron Jenkins.
Cameron's a great guy.
And he said something that has been rolling around in my head ever since then. So I haven't asked his permission, but I feel like he gave it.
He instructed me to use it as much and in any way as we could.
So what Cameron said was he had a word from God about how this changes.
From Nehemiah.
From Nehemiah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The rebuilding of the gate.
And so this was the idea that we have to start with our own heart.
Yeah.
Like individuals start with our own heart and make changes in our heart. So this means asking for God to convict you of places where you have gone off the rails, where you have sinned, just like, you know, where are you corrupt? Where are you worshiping idols?
Mm-hmm.
Where have you oppressed people or taken advantage of other people? All those things, like asking for God to convict you, then repenting and asking him to change your own heart.
Personally. Yes.
So he had heart is the first H. He has four H's.
That's me. That's right.
Yeah, starting with yourself. Mm-hmm. The second one was once you've gotten your own heart, taking a look at your own heart, ask God to change it, with your home.
Home.
Like starting with the people that you live with that are the closest to you.
Your family, but also even your extended family, just that sort of think concentric circles, okay? You start in the middle with me and you begin to work out from that. And you really can't move to your family until you've gotten things right with
you. With your own self.
And so, so home.
So home was the next one. Mm-hmm. The third one was huddle.
Huddle.
And what he meant by this was like your close friends and your community, I think.
Your people.
Your people. Who are you eating dinner with on Friday night?
Mm-hmm.
That's your huddle.
That's right.
Like your community group, your Sunday school class, we want to make it churchy. Like
those
people around you that are close around you. And then once you've gotten your heart, your home, and your huddle geared towards God as the center of that, then you can look towards humanity.
The nations.
The nations.
Yes.
So if everybody got their own heart, looked at their own heart and asked God to help change it, and correct, then moved to their home, their huddle, then we can work on the whole.
Yeah.
And so it's not so daunting if you think about it
absolutely
that way.
Absolutely. And here's what I would say. Do not ever sell yourself short in your ability to influence those around you. Every one of us has people that look to us for leadership, for guidance. Look in your own home. There are people there, your children, your siblings. They are looking to you to see how you react and how you respond to maybe what God's calling you to do. And so you have an opportunity to influence there. And I believe that it goes even beyond that, from your heart, your home, your huddle, and even to the nation's humanity. That's it.
That's yes. Right. So to kind of end on this, this is the most famous, well, I mean, I'm saying it's the most famous part of Micah. It's
sure.
The verse that I know the most.
Yeah.
But kind of a directive of, mm-hmm. you know, if you're going to ask God to change your heart, a practical next step.
Yeah.
Is Micah 6:8,
mm-hmm.
where he's just said, God has just said, don't come to me with all these empty offerings.
Yes.
We need to work on your heart.
Yeah.
So he says, know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God.
Yeah.
So that's kind of our directive.
Yes.
Once we get our hearts aligned with God.
Well, I would say even that is the formula for getting our hearts right.
Right.
Whether it's at the level of the heart, the home, the huddle, or the, why can't I keep remembering?
Humanity.
I keep wanting to say the nations. I want to think worldwide, and so it is humanity. But I believe this is the formula for us to do that, to do what is right, to love justice, to make sure that around you that there is nothing or no one who is essentially being affected by sin, or certainly our sin. And so the way that we do what is right is by aligning ourselves with God, and it's that heart thing. I think it's also a call to our family and beyond to love mercy. That means we're going to have to forgive. Like, we're going to have to love people and be generous in our assumptions, and to learn to reach out and to give the mercy that Christ has offered to us, and then to walk in humility with God. And that is that, I think, when I think of this, I think of John 15, and when Jesus is talking about the vine and the branches, like, remain in me, and you're connected to me, when you walk humbly with me, that's where the fruit's going to come. And so I think these are some incredibly practical next steps for us to seek to have God begin to walk in his ways and to trot on his path, so that one day everything that is broken, everything that is creating destruction and is meant for evil, now has been transformed into something that's life-giving and fruit-bearing. And again, like you said, like Cameron said, it starts right here. It starts right here. So that's our challenge for you today, is to simply do what's right, to love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. And I believe when we begin to get that right in the concentric circles, the world will become a different place, and we will experience a peace. And it happens through the difficult work that God himself does, through fire, through beating, twisting, shaping, and molding of us and humanity, so that what was meant for evil now is being used for good. Yes.
So as we close today, let's say a prayer and just ask God to begin to work in our hearts.
Yes.
And to begin to lead us and show us how we can lead our homes and our communities and our world.
Let's do it.
All right. So God, we thank you for reaching out to us, God, for convicting us. And we just pray that you would continue to show us the ways where we might have messed up, where we've sinned, where we're corrupt. And God, I just pray that you would take all those sins away, and that you would wash them so that they would be just pure, and God, that we would be transformed.
Yes.
And God, I just pray that you would show us how we can turn our hearts towards you, to where we can make you the center of everything that we do, the center of every breath that we take. And God, I pray that we would begin to love the things that you love, that we begin to love justice, that we would begin to love mercy even more than we might already. God, that we would just turn our hearts toward you and be transformed. And God, I pray that you would show us ways where we can walk humbly with you, that you can guide us to people and use us to help turn their hearts towards you.
Yes.
And God, I pray that this would become a reality, that it wouldn't be some distant dream, but something that we can help enable here in our world, where we wouldn't be so divided, but where we could come together with you at the center, God, and we could take away things that are destructive, where we wouldn't want to take another person and tear them down, but God, we would want to always be life-giving and be building other people up. Jesus is the greatest example of that, and it's in his name we pray.
Secret place where I see your face. Will you take me there again? You can search my heart in the deepest part, from beginning to the end. To from you, and you still call out my name. When my flesh is weak, will you help me see that you are all that I need? That you are all
Thank y'all for joining us today, and we'll see you next week, live and in person.
That's right.
At 11 a.m. in the CLC. Make sure you pre-register. We cannot wait to see you. God bless you.